The Word of God is from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just as one man sinned and all became sinners, as one man through one man's obedience all will be saved. It compares Adam with Jesus Christ. In God's view, there are two peoples living on this earth. One person is Adam, whom God created, and the other person is Jesus Christ, whom God sent. On this earth, billions of people live here on this earth, but every one of us belong to either to Adam, to Jesus Christ. So as we think through, as we read through the verses today, Adam represents one who was created by God. He is the first man. So as a creation of God, he does not have the innate nature of God in him, but he was simply created by God. He does not have the attributes of God innate in him. But Jesus Christ, whom God sent, was different. He was God himself, and therefore he had the divine nature present within him. So what did each man do? Adam was created to be the one who expresses the life of God. And instead of eating from the tree of life, he disobeyed and ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God forbade him to eat. However, Jesus Christ came into the world. He went to the cross and died on the cross, and he rose again, and he put an end to the dominance of the first man, Adam, and he was the second man who put an end to the history of the first man, Adam. And Jesus Christ, he died and rose again, therefore put an end to the death. But instead of death, he brought life. So the result of each man's action, the result of Adam's action, was that sin entered in to mankind. If we look at our main text this morning, it says, sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And so what is sin? Sin is the man who is created by God, wanting and desiring to be God themselves, and their action was seen in his disobedience to God in eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil to make himself equal to God. That is sin. And with that, sin followed grave consequence. So to this Adam, God said that you were created from the dust of the earth, and to the dust you shall return. And so it is when the mankind returns to the dust of the earth, that's our death. That's their physical death. In a way, if your families truly love you, it seems unreasonable for them to take your body and bury you underground. Instead, they should keep you around with you. In fact, in some cultures in another continent, such as Africa, I learned that their culture is to keep the body of their loved one in a small box within their home with them, to say that our loved one is always with us. But God declared that since you were made from the dust of the earth, and you shall return to the earth, and man was separated from God. And so the mankind dies, and because we were made from the dust of the earth, we return to the dust of the earth. And if you do not believe, then you are headed to eternal death. But if you have believed in your lifetime, you are headed to God. So when we die, God lifts us up. Our physical body returns to the dust of the earth, but he embraces the rest of us to himself. So the actions of two persons had these great consequences or results. And the result of Adam's action was that the sin entered in, and therefore all of mankind became sinners and ended their life in death. So our main text this morning says, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sin. And this is what happened when Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It is when sin entered in, and it is to say that the nature of Satan entered into mankind. It is also to say that Satan becomes master of the mankind. And it is not something external, it is something that is now internal to mankind. When mankind sin entered in. And this is the most serious consequence of Adam's sin. And so from there on, Satan lives as the master of all those who follow after the sin of Adam. And what is then the consequence of Jesus' action? When Jesus died and rose again, it was not something that remains as his own personal death and resurrection. When Adam sinned, he became a sinner and death entered in. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that through Jesus' death, his grace came to us. And through his death and resurrection, many became righteous by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ. So Adam sinned, and he became enemy with God and brought death to the rest of the mankind. Jesus died and rose again. He became the source of life and eternal life to those who believe. So sin and death began with Adam, And in the same way, grace and life began with the person of Jesus Christ. Descendants of Adam are now born in sin and death. And in the same way, the descendants of Lord Jesus Christ, when they are born, they are now under when they are born through faith, they are now under grace. So, in terms of where we are, our position, it is because of the fact where we belong, whether we belong in Adam or whether we belong in Jesus Christ. Whether we are in death or in life is because of the fact where we are, our position. So if you are in Jesus Christ, you live life that is from above. So if you are in Adam, you are the center of your life. You are the master of your life. So therefore, you have to work hard. You have to put yourself above everyone else as a result of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So your thought is that you have to be the controller. You have to be the one who puts everything into action. You have to be the one who has to secure your future. You have to be the one who performs and works to secure your success and to fulfill your wishes. And therefore, your goal in life is to succeed. Your goal in life is to be above everyone else. And even in regards to believing in Jesus, it is up to you. It is self-focused faith. And you deceive yourself to think that it is you who believe in Jesus Christ out of your own efforts. And so, as you live your life that way, that person's life is full of burdens, because that way of life is always about competing with others, always about striving, always about working, always about guaranteeing that everything goes well. It is about guaranteeing that your life will be filled with riches and success. How stressful is such life? How burdensome is such life? And with such mind, that person, when they are exposed to the gospel, they first try to earn their salvation through their own works, through their own will. Even in the church, they pray hard on their own. They participate in activities on their own. Without end, they try and try not to sin, because they are aware that when they let their guard down, they are prone to sin. And because of the result of eating from the knowledge of good and evil, they know they sin when there is any lapse in their guard against sin. And so how hard is to live a righteous life for that person? But a person in Christ, he himself is not the center of his life. He is not the master of his life. It is Jesus Christ who is the center and the master of his life. So regardless of what he does, it is Jesus who is the one who is doing it. That person says, I am not the one who is able to keep the law, and even if I try, I cannot keep the law. And that person knows that it is Jesus Christ in him. Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, he is the one who is able to fulfill the requirement of the law. That person knows that when Christ died and rose again, he himself died and rose again with Jesus Christ. He knows that with death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his sins were cleansed and he is now righteous before the Lord. His life now transcends everything of this world. His life is not of this world anymore, and therefore there is no work left. There is no striving left, but all that is left for that person is to be thankful and to give praise and glory to what Christ has done. So to be in Adam or to be in Jesus Christ? That is the question that you ought to ask yourself today, whether you are in Adam or whether you are in Jesus Christ. So if you try to strive to climb up, it is a difficult thing. But from the top to climb to the bottom, it is effortless, because it is done and completed through Jesus Christ, in Christ, through His death and resurrection. So that is the fate of Adam and Jesus, and to those who are of Adam or of Jesus Christ. So therefore, this is the choice you are given. God has given you freedom to choose between the two. So who are you in today? Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? And so if you are in Christ, you simply have to receive what comes from above. And Jesus Christ comes to us through His grace that has been accomplished at His cross through His death and resurrection. For those are the descendants of Adam, and who are in Adam today, they must climb up to heaven from the earth. They must build a foundation. They must climb up. They must agonize in their way up. And they cry aloud and agonize, and they strive and even pray to God, but there is no answer to such people who are trying to climb up to God out of their own efforts. And that is the life of one who is in Adam. So whom should you choose, Adam or Jesus Christ? And some say that I used to be in Adam, but now today I am in Jesus Christ. In their head, there are many in their head, they think they are in Jesus Christ, but in reality, they are still under Adam, because they fail to know the fact that they are in Christ, in Jesus' death and resurrection. And because so many fail to know that Jesus' death and resurrection is their own death and resurrection, they are not in Christ. They still remain in Adam. And for many people in the church, this is not a reality. The question of whether you are in Adam or in Jesus, the question of your identity must be answered clearly. It is not a question of what you know, but it is a question of reality. What is actually reality in your life in regards to your identity? Why are you always striving and living in worry, anxiety, and fear? It is because your identity is not clear. If your identity in Christ is clear, you will be living life free from such fear, such anxiety, such worries in life. If truly the Lord Jesus Christ is within you, you have no reason to be anxious, no reason to be worrisome, no reason to be in fear. And all those things result because of the unclearness of the identity. If your identity in Christ is unclear, when illness comes, you fear. When difficulties come, you worry. And this is what the Bible teaches us. It warns us to be clear about what our identity is. And it is not a difficult thing. It is not something that is achieved through our own efforts or works. And some of you have this confidence within you about your identity in Christ. The question of who you are, the question of who you belong to. And I pray that for every one of us, there is a clear answer within us that we belong to Christ. And if you don't have a clear answer to that question, your life is one of misery, because you will always have to strive and try not to sin. Even though Jesus says He made us righteous on the cross, if you're not sure about that, your life is unsure, you're always in fear, of God that you might sin and be punished. And you go on to live your Christian life out of your own efforts, not realizing the fact that even if you live a angelic life out of your own efforts, God does not care. God's only focus, God's only interest is in His Son Jesus Christ, the righteous works of His Son Jesus Christ. So our identity must be clear in Jesus Christ. And if your identity is still in Adam, unlike the person from above, and that person from above came from heaven down to the earth, if you belong still to Adam, that you have to continue to live life and strive and work hard to climb up, to cling on to God's favor on your life. Your flesh, this world, says you have to work hard at it in order to achieve anything. But in Christ, there cannot be any sense of your work, you trying, your achievements, your accomplishments. Because in Christ, there must not be any hint of your works. Because it is Jesus who has worked, it is Jesus who accomplished our righteousness. So whether your identity is still in Adam or in Jesus, and I ask you to provide an answer to that, not aloud, but within your heart, answer, have an answer to that question, whether you're still in Adam or you're in Christ. And if your answer is that you're in Adam, then your foundation is found in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, wanting and devouring the position of God, that you are the master of your own life, that through your life you desire to achieve your own will. You strive and work hard in this world, and your interest is, how can I achieve my own happiness, my own success, and my own wishes here on earth? And your life has nothing to do with living life according to God's will, giving God His glory, but your sole interest living life is about your own selfish interests and ambitions. Your life interest is in the thought of happiness for your family, success in your business, and the health of your own family, the happiness of everyone around you. Such thinking comes from the man who is still in Adam. That is not God's will for mankind. That is your will. That is your desire. That is the desire and the craving of a person who ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The one who dethroned God in their life and declared independence from God and deceives themselves to think that they are the master and the Lord of their own life. So even if you become successful and on this earth, and let's say that you are a happy person in achieving all those things, but at the foot of the reality of death, everyone, even those who has achieved all the success, all the happiness of this world, will crumble when they come to face the teacher, death. So for whom, for who is our hope, is our wishes for? And people around you will see such life of success, will be envious of you and praise you. But in God's view, it's nothing, because whether you have or not, you still tremble in fear when you encounter death. So, beloved, these truths are from the Word of God. It is the reality that every one of us will face. Lazarus' sisters, when they heard Jesus is coming, they said, if you were here, our brother would not have died. Perhaps they were complaining to Jesus that he did not come earlier, because we informed you in advance before he died to come that he is ill and that he is about to die. Jesus did not come. Why? Because Jesus was waiting till he died. Jesus did not work like mankind. And Jesus knew that even if he were to come and heal him, Jesus knew that he would eventually die anyway. But the fact that Jesus came after his death, he is trying to teach Lazarus' sister, Mary and Martha, to put an end to our old self. He's trying to teach them that you must first die in order to have life. He is declaring that you have been born in sin and that there is no way out of that reality. And to live, you must first die. That is what Jesus is teaching. So to those who belong to Adam today, they are continuing to strive to climb up for themselves, for their families, even for God. They work hard. They try their best. Even for God, they work hard that they might be recognized by God of their hard work. But when God sees that, he sees that as work resulting from being in Adam. But if you are in Christ, the one who is in Jesus, his work is not his work. His efforts is not his efforts because he is dead. It is Christ who is living in him. It is the work of Jesus. It is the accomplishments of Jesus which that God will only accept. If you are confused or not sure about whether you're in Adam or in Jesus, but all you do without being clear about your identity in Christ, if you just work hard at life, then you are in trouble. And you become someone who is putting their life in doing all these things for God, performing all these miracles for God. And at the end, they cry out, "Lord, and Lord, haven't we done this and done that for you?" And Jesus would declare to them, "Depart from me, you workers of evil. I do not know you." For those who are in Adam, they are continuing to build their tower higher and higher. From man's perspective, they are applauded for their works, for their efforts. They do not realize that these are the works of one who is deceived by Satan. As I have told you before, what is the end? Even to those who are declared as happy and successful here on earth, it is death. Let's just say that you will die in 10 years and another person knows that they will die in 1 hour or maybe say 1 month later. The attitude, their approach to life, to the one who will die in 1 month and the one who will die in 10 years, would they be the same or would they be great difference? Are you saying you do not know? Of course there is a great difference. From the one who knows that they will die in 1 month, they will be serious about the way they live their life. Perhaps they will try to make peace with different people whom he considered as his enemies. Perhaps he will come to repent of many things that he was grabbing onto. Perhaps all these joys that he had in life would all begin to dissipate and disappear. All the plans of vacation, all the plans of pleasures would no longer matter to that person. And perhaps he would begin to seek God. That's the approach to life. The attitude towards life for a person who does not have many days to live. Such is the maturity that death brings to a person. Death, when it comes, is a greater teacher than any other teachers of this world. It teaches about life. It causes us to reflect back about how we lived our lives. It causes us to be honest with ourselves. That's what death does. It is our great teacher. And Apostle Paul is one of those who's seen that as a reality in his life. In fact, he said that he died every day. Beloved, a man who is striving up toward heaven, let's just say that he was successful in everything. What is the end result, end benefit that it brings to himself, to his family, to his loved ones? But to those who are created according to his image, according to his likeness, That man who is created according to his likeness, his image, must be dwelt by God himself, must be filled with God himself. He was created to be indwelt by God himself and to display the glory of God himself. That's the only way that he will fulfill the purpose for which he was created. He created us according to his image, his likeness. He created us into our spirit, our soul, and our body. We become whole when God begins to dwell within us. So it is about from above coming down onto us. Truly, beloved, there is nothing you can really do for your family, your children, your loved ones. Is it to give them a large wealth inheritance? What would they do with it? But if you are one who was able to experience the life of Christ who comes from above to down to this earth, down to you, and you are able to supply the life of Christ to the others around you, then you have truly lived a life that is blessed. And that is what the scripture teaches us. But Satan came and deceived us to fill our lives with refuse, trash, dung in our lives. And that is why Jesus Christ had to come. He died and rose again, and he became our life. He became our master. And that is our eternal identity. Your identity must not come from Adam. The identity that is filled with burdens of this life. Or is it found in Jesus Christ? Whether you are in Adam or in Jesus, where do you stand? Where is your identity found in? You must think through deeply today. So if you have Christ in you, you no longer are interested in giving the things of this world, but you are interested in what you receive from above to your children as well, to your business partners, to your family. So disciples one day asked the Lord Jesus to teach them how to pray. And Jesus taught them to pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. And Jesus went further and taught them, don't ask for the things of this world, but first seek the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God. Then all these other things will be added unto you. So, beloved, do not stand on the side of Adam, living your life in strife, in laboring to achieve your own success and your own righteousness. That is not what God will receive. What God is asking you to do is to die, to come to know that you are unable to do anything. Just as Lazarus died, then he would give you life. What you and I need today is death. Then Christ will begin to live. So in Christ, you must begin in death, and you must live your life in death, and you must end in death. That is Christian faith. So it begins with the death of ourselves. In the cross of Jesus Christ, you must come to know and believe that you have died with Christ at his cross. That you must come to know that you have come to an end. And for those who believe in their own death at the cross of Jesus Christ, they live their life like Apostle Paul, who cried out that he dies every day. And when you have died, who is moving in your life? Who lives your life? It is Jesus Christ, just as in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 11, it says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So, beloved, is that your prayer, that the life of Christ would flow through you? Is that truly your prayer? If you strive to do and be successful on your own, if you strive and work hard at being one who makes the difference on your own, Jesus is not there. It says we are being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So it is for us to die that Christ may work in us. So when Apostle Paul wrote to the churches, he wrote that it is I who die, but it is Christ who lives in me. So if you, your old self, die, beloved, Jesus Christ becomes all in our family. He is the one who created before the time began everyone in your family. But we, in our own earthly thinking, we think that our own children belong to us and fail to realize and understand it is God who created them. It is not good enough to just feed him with physical food. What should you give to your children? The abundance of Christ must be given to our children. And in order that to happen, you first must die. And that's what the Bible teaches us. Not only must you die, but it is Christ who must flow through us. So if any of you still sees a part of your life still under the realm of Adam, you must put an end to that. You must put a death to that. Still in our mind, there are many worries and anxieties that come. For example, any little thing that is abnormal on your skin or on your physical health, you begin to worry and be anxious. And that's weighing heavy on your mind. All these worries, all these doubting, and those are the thoughts of a fleshly man and man's tendency to always think about the worst case scenario when something happens. But what you must know that it is not just you, but it is Satan himself working by planting a fleshly thought in your mind. And so for the believers, you must not think that's still you, but it is the thought placed by Satan himself in your mind. Because what is your true identity? Your true identity is the one who was made righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. And the question then is, why are these sinful thoughts still in your mind? And just as Satan placed that thought to sell Jesus Christ onto his death in his disciples' thought, in the same way, Satan places these certain thoughts even in the life of the believers. And when those attacks come, we must declare that we are the sons and daughters of God. And we see that Apostle Paul wrote that he desires to do good, but he sins, he falls, and he declares that it is not himself, it is sin living in him. So when those sinful thoughts come, we must immediately cling to Jesus and be reminded of his work at the cross of Jesus, and realize and recognize that these are the thoughts that are placed in our mind by Satan himself. But we must quickly cling to what Christ has done for us. Jesus, when he comes, he gives us life. We must be reminded that we have been purchased through the blood of Jesus. So your true identity, you must come to believe, and you must come to know confidently. If that is sure in your life, even when Satan plants such sinful thoughts, it would quickly be dealt with through our confidence in our identity in Jesus Christ. When illness comes knocking at your door, we are tempted, of course, to have a conversation and be led into the thoughts of worry and anxiety. But if you come to that such knocking at your door through faith in what Christ has done, then such thoughts would run from you. So in faith that you have being completed in Christ, you lack nothing because of what Christ has done. And if you are sure of your righteous position, sure of your identity in Christ, then you will be bold and confident when such sinful thoughts come knocking at your door. So when there is a filthy thought in your mind, don't think it is you, but flee to Christ, that Christ has cleansed us and paid for our sins. And declare that Satan himself is a liar, so that Satan may flee from you, run away from you, as you declare the truth of what Christ has done. So Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. That's what it means to deny yourself, to know that these thoughts in your mind are not your thoughts, but it is thoughts that are placed in our minds by Satan. It is not ours. It doesn't belong to us anymore. And so in life, it's natural that there may be these thoughts hanging around in our minds, but if we cling to Christ, it would eventually disappear after hanging around for a while. So you must have this sure identity in Christ, that you have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, that he has accomplished his work of salvation on your behalf. And all you have to do is deny yourself to follow the cross of Jesus. To deny yourself is simply to acknowledge and to believe that you have died. And the moment you acknowledge and come to believe that you have died at the cross of Jesus Christ, then you will truly begin to experience peace and joy. As I have repeated before, that Jesus himself is faith. And apart from Jesus, there is no faith. And if you say you have faith on your own, that is a lie. Faith cannot be found in any man, but it is Jesus who is faith. Jesus himself is faith. And when he begins to dwell within us, he begins to supply our lives with faith that is necessary. So therefore, even your faith is not your own. Your will, your decisions, your willful acts, they are not faith. It is when Jesus enters into you, that is when faith begins. And the problem is, in many of the believers' life, is that faith that enters into our spirit hasn't made it into our soul in regards to how we live our life. So there is the absence of work. It is completely what Christ has to do. When Christ enters in, he will be the one who will clear away any of our anxieties and worries. So it flows from above, just as the water flows from top down. All that has to happen in our lives is for ourselves to die and open our hearts. In the movie Ben-Hur, I've forgotten much of that movie, but one thing I remember, towards the end of the movie, we have a scene when Jesus is hanging on the cross and dying. As it is thundering and raining from the top of Jesus' head, his blood and his tears, his sweat is flowing down his face, and his blood is flowing down on the cross. And as it flows, it makes a stream, and it is flowing from the cross and makes its way down to the cross, and it makes a small puddle, and there is this mother and a child suffering from leprosy, and they happen to extend their hand and touch that puddle of the blood of Jesus. And that scene, beloved, that is the picture of God, picture of Jesus Christ. It flows from him to us. Beloved, the forgiveness of God 2,000 years ago, it flows from God down to us. We simply have to reach and touch. We simply have to believe. So whether you are in Jesus, whether you are in Adam, if you're in Adam, there is no need to work and strive. You simply have to live. You simply have to live the truth that is a reality in your life. Beloved Jesus Christ, who died 2,000 years ago and rose again, He is living today. And to have that personal Jesus Christ come from above down to us, He sent His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And ourselves today are hindering the flow of Jesus from above down to us. It is ourselves that is hindering. And not only should Jesus fall down into our spirit be saved, but our soul must also be saved. And what is the new covenant? It is not only the coming of Jesus Christ, it is Christ coming down here on earth, becoming you and me, and dying on the cross and rising again. It is Jesus dying on your behalf and rising on your behalf. That is the new covenant. And so where is your faith made sure? It is when your soul is saved. Of course you are saved when the Spirit comes and the gospel convicts your heart. You place faith in what Christ has done. Your spirit is saved. But the assurance of your faith begins when your soul is captured by the Holy Spirit and your soul is saved. And when does that salvation of your soul take place? It takes place when you come to believe and when you come to not be moved and deceived by the thoughts placed by Satan in your life, but you're boldly able to declare and say that Christ has completed all. And the more of that begins to fill your life, then you will come to know that you do not lack anything. You must no longer remain under the deception of Satan. So, beloved, this morning you must come to truly know and believe the true identity in Christ that He has provided for us. So the serious question you must consider this morning is that whether you are in Adam or in Jesus. And truly, if you are in Jesus, just as Apostle Paul, you must die every day. It begins by dying at the cross of Jesus Christ. And at the end, when you die, it is no longer in fear that you approach death, because you know that it is a gateway to heaven that you are going through. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would provide that clear faith in your life today. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your will be done in our lives. I pray that our life will be one that reveals the glory of God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to come to know and believe that what Christ has accomplished, it is a true reality in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.